The following podcast is a presentation of Small Biz America.
Small Biz America.
This is Making Business Work Better. And now, here's your host, Mike Miro.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Mike Miro, the host of Making Business Work Better. We're happy to have you with us today. Making Business Work Better is where small business owners come for inspiration and ideas to help make their business work better, to help make more money, have more free time, and achieve the things that they want in their business. I hope all is well with all of our listeners today, and boy, it's kind of crazy in the marketplace. This weather is just, the March winds are surely blowing in here on this St. Patrick's Day, and I hope everybody is well. Here in Texas, it's spring break time, so things have kind of slowed down a little bit. Lots of people taking time off with their kids while they're out of school and enjoying some of this, it's sunshine one day and rain the next, and boy, it's hard to predict some of this weather. So we're just welcome everybody to the show today. We've got a special guest with us today. Mark Johnson is a local businessman. He is the founder and managing partner of Eagle Wealth Management, a Dallas-based financial management company. Mark has been doing this for over 15 years and brings a tremendous amount of experience as a financial advisor, as well as a small business owner. He has a very unique perspective, wearing both hats as a business owner and a financial advisor, and he's active locally in the Boy Scouts and has been involved in local government. He also serves on the board of the North Dallas Chamber of Commerce and is one of the members of the Board of Trustees for the Dallas Human Resource Association. Mark, welcome to Making Business Work Better.
Mike, thank you very much, and a happy St. Patrick's Day to you as well.
Same to you, my friend. Mark, you can't turn on the news today and not hear about crazy things going on in the market out there. What is your perspective on what's going on?
Well, it's not unlike a lot of things that go on in the marketplace on any given day. It just happens to be one of those days where it's a little more, brings home to roost just a little more what diversification is all about and not having all of your eggs in one basket, so to speak.
Yeah.
As we've seen this year, the markets are down a little bit. So, you know, it's not unlike any other time in our history where markets go down. They go down, but they also come back up, and when you have a long-term perspective on it, it's just a great opportunity to continue to buy into the marketplace. Stocks are on sale today, so it's a great time to buy.
Absolutely. I was watching one of the national newscasts this morning, and they had a so-called expert on there talking about the market. And she made a comment. She says, you know, the last time we had a cycle like this where things really went down and different things were going on, it was followed by 6 months of really strong growth. And so you just never know, and it's hard to predict what the market's going to do.
And that's why we don't even try and predict what it's going to do.
That's right. That's right. Well, tell us a little bit about Eagle Wealth Management.
Well, I started out with a national firm right out of college in 1992, and spent a couple of years there. I got all my securities licenses that you need in this business and my insurance license, and got really trained and spent a lot of time with them and going to different trainings and workshops. And then in about 1994, I decided it was time for me to fully go out on my own. When I started with them in 92, you were in an essence an independent contractor with them, and you had your own business per se. In 1994, I just took it to another step where it was fully our business and my business at that point, and continued on from that standpoint. I've had it ever since.
Okay. So what was it that motivated you to have your own business?
Motivation, really a lot to do with how I'm wired personally. And when I was in college, I looked at a lot of different industries and professions and did my homework on the things that I didn't want to do and kind of approached it from, I have no idea what I want to do, but I know what I don't want to do. and so I kind of struck off the list some different things that I did not want to do,
right?
Different professions or different businesses that had nuances to it that I was like, yeah, I didn't want to travel a lot. I didn't want to work a lot of weekends. I went to college and waited tables and tended bar and through the restaurant industry and had some opportunities to go into the restaurant industry. But the hours really weren't conducive for long-term what I wanted to do.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, you know, that's not really my cup of tea. I wanted something that I had some flexibility when I got older and had a family and having my own business kind of fit that bill. Also saw my parents, they worked for companies, particularly my father, and kind of got pigeonholed, and no matter what he did, he was kind of locked into where he was, and it was a very strong motivation for me to continue my education and to have my own business.
All right.
To where it was dependent upon what I did, make or break it, it's on me. From that standpoint, so that's been kind of a driving motivation for me growing up.
Okay.
And then my profession, professionally being a financial advisor, and what we do, being able to help people is also nice. There's also an unlimited amount of education you can do in my profession, as well as the ability to have my business look like what I want it to look like.
Okay. So what you did was you really just kind of got in your mind the lifestyle you wanted, and then really tried to find a business that would support the lifestyle you wanted, rather than, you know, having a business and then trying to fit your life around that business.
Correct. I mean, it's kind of what we tell our clients that from a values perspective, what are your core values and what do you want to have happen? And then we plan their finances around those things, be it retire at 50 or be it retire at 65, or when do they want to be financially independent or buy the second home or the third home. It was very similar to that, although I couldn't have recognized it and articulated that at 22 years old, but very much was the values of being with my family and having that flexibility. This morning my son was getting a cast put on his arm, and
I was
able to be there with him, so in some jobs, that would not have been the case. So
right.
I was very fortunate to be in the position that I'm in.
Excellent. You know, that's you make some great points there, Mark. You know, one of the things we do when we work with folks in my business is we really emphasize the need for planning, that you can create the future you want if you've got a solid plan and something that's practical and makes sense. And it sounds like you do the same thing with your clients.
Absolutely.
What have been some of the biggest challenges you've faced in starting and running your own business?
Starting and running my own business is the biggest challenges. We have a couple of different ones from a regulatory environment for what we do day in and day out. There's a lot of regulatory environment that we have to deal with, from security laws,
uh-huh,
insurance laws that constantly keep us in an ever-changing mode, because those laws are constantly evolving and changing. Just from that side of technically what we do, there's a lot. From a business side, I've been very fortunate. My assistant's been with me for the last 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
So that has been very nice from a staffing standpoint to not have to worry about that. And also, we've been in the same physical location now for this is our sixth year here.
Okay.
So those are two issues that I've not had to deal with the last 6 years. Earlier in my career, I subleased office space from people.
Okay.
So friends that had different office spaces, and I'd stay with them a year or two, and then their lease would be up, and then I'd move to another place until I got into a position to where I was comfortable taking on my own space and signing that dotted line for a rent check that was, you know, bigger than I was paying on in my personal life. So,
right,
you know, it's those things, just modulating the growth and deciding, you know, okay, when is the right time to add this component or add that component, and just watching the bottom line to see, okay, you know, does this make sense financially?
That's really important what you just said, because a lot of folks run out, you know, they'll start a business and they'll go out and incur a tremendous amount of expense from anything from renting a building or acquiring property or inventory or things like that when the business may not support that kind of expense yet. And it's really interesting because some of the folks that we work with, we have to try to back them out of some of that so that they can get back on a positive cash flow. And it just makes so much sense to do it as you can afford to, rather than jump in and encumber all that expense before your business will support it.
Absolutely. I mean, the keeping your powder dry, businesses cycle, and I don't care how good your business is or how well it's going, things are going to change, and there will be a time when you're going to need that capital or
right.
that flexibility, and it's much easier to put six people in an office space than to go have an office space that you're sitting there roaming around in and sitting there going, God, I'm flushing
yeah.
an extra $1,000 or $2,000 or $3,000 a month or more.
Right.
When, you know, it's silly. You know,
it's absolutely.
Much easier to do a short-term deal and not lock yourself in than to go forward and take down a big space, because that money is just sunk cost.
Right.
And it doesn't provide anything for you. It's not marketing dollars. It's, you know, it's image to a certain extent, but it's still a sunk cost that, you know, you could hire another salesperson. You could,
sure, sure.
you know, do another seminar or whatever your business is to go attract more clients and put clients in seats, eyeball to eyeball.
That's right. That's right. You know, one of the things that we try to emphasize when we work with clients is we want the business, every dollar we spend needs to be driving equity in the business, either in terms of customer relationships or value of the business. And we try to eliminate or avoid as much as possible those things that are just costs that drive no equity in the business. So I loved your phrase there, keep your powder dry. That's a great, great way to put it. Great way to put it. So you deal with a lot of folks. You deal with a lot of individuals as well as business owners. What are some of the things that if a new business owner has been in business for a while, they're starting to make some money, what are some of the things that they need to be thinking about in regards to what they're going to do with some of that money that they're making in their business today?
Taxes,
oh yeah.
that's one that sometimes gets overlooked, and there's a lot of business people out there that go, hey, I had a great year, and all of a sudden they get the tax man and he goes, well, you know what, Bob, you just popped up and made another 50 grand more or 100 grand more than you thought you were going to, and oh, by the way, that's going to cost you another 20 or 30 or 40,000 in taxes.
And whoops,
you're like,
they didn't plan for that.
Uh-oh, I didn't realize that was going to, yeah, well, and that's one of those, being aware of where you are financially and knowing your numbers.
Right.
Knowing your numbers not only from how many sales calls you need to make to close a sale, but also your financial numbers of where your overhead lies. If you have an inventory, where what's going on with your inventory?
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of areas where companies are not as profitable. They may be making money, but they're not profitable.
Sure. Sure.
And they don't always focus on where the profit is, net-net, how much money are you pulling out for yourself as a business owner at the end of the day and that
right.
you can put your hands on. And a lot of business owners lose sight of that and go, oh, my sales are tripled or whatever. And I know especially in our industry, there's always a lot of talk about the top-line number, but nobody – because of the companies we deal with, they take a percentage off our top line. They don't care what we do on a bottom line, but it's like, hey, guys, that's our focus as a business owner. What's the bottom line?
Yeah.
Because the top line really is irrelevant per se if I can derive just as much money on a bottom line with half the top line I don't have to worry about all the details and hassles of it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. So many business owners focus on driving that additional revenue, and a lot of times they do it without thinking about, okay, what's this going to do to me from a tax standpoint or from an expense standpoint, especially when you have to add resources like a headcount or inventory or something along those lines in order to be able to support that top line number.
Absolutely. I mean, what effect is it going to have on you to build? Go ahead, take some time if you don't have the expertise to build the financial model. And sometimes it's just as easy an Excel spreadsheet. Have your banker help you. And
right.
If your banker won't help you, then get another banker, because there's enough of them out there that have that expertise.
Right.
Talk to your financial advisor to have them sit down with you and go, all right, let's just sit down, heck, on the back of an envelope, and let's just look at some what-if scenarios. You know, if you had an extra $100,000 and you were going to put it into your business, what would you do with it? But what would your return be?
Right.
You know, are you going to double your sales? Great. But if you don't double your profit, let's take a look and see what it's going to do your profit line. Because
right.
People a lot of times lose focus on what are your profits, because that's the only
right.
thing that matters.
And, you know, it's interesting, Mark. There's a lot of folks that, you know, they want to drive that top line up, but they really take no consideration also to what I call the hassle factor. Which
sure.
is, you know, now you've got to have additional staff or resources or space or whatever, and all of a sudden you've got, you know, you've gone from this small manageable company to something now that has a number of employees and a whole lot more stuff to deal with,
and
are making the same or less money.
And as a business owner, you've just gone totally from doing the things that you love to do to now having to deal with a bunch of things that you don't like to do.
Right.
For about the same amount of money. And sometimes it's like, okay, core competency, what are you good at? What do you like to do?
Right.
And being aware that you're going to now add more hassle and headache, and who's going to deal with that? Is it you? Or do you have the staff in place to deal with those issues? Because if you don't, ultimately, it's the guy writing the check at the end of the day, which is the business owner, who's going to have to deal with it.
That's right. That buck's going to stop somewhere.
It does. And
yeah.
There's only one person that deals with that, and it's the person you're either looking in that mirror, shaving in the morning, or putting on the makeup in the morning. You know, it's that person.
That's right. That's right. As you've gone through doing what you do over the last 15 years, if you could, you know, if a small business owner approached you and said, Mark, what do I need to do first? What's the most important thing I need to focus on? You know, we've mentioned taxes, but what else? What are some other things related to my business that I need to be thinking about or be aware of as I grow and move forward?
Well, what do you want to do with it? What's your end game?
Okay.
Do you want, when you hit whatever number it is and somebody says, you know what, Mike, it's time for you to leave. Well, is your business in a position to sell? Do you want to hand it off to the next generation? Do you want to sell it to somebody outright? Do you just want to close the doors and walk away? What is your end game? Because for me, I build mine so that at some point in time I can sell it.
Yeah.
Be it sell it to my son, sell it to somebody else. It is a business. I love what I do and the people that I do, but as all things, just like the markets continue and grow, things are going to change, and I know at some point in time, this business will be in somebody else's hands.
Right.
And so I want to maximize, again, the value for myself and my family.
Sure.
For that business and my, you know, time that I've had in it. So it is kind of beginning that with that end in mind. That's still a phrase from Stephen Covey is, what do you want to accomplish? Do you want to have a sellable business? And if so, there's things you'll do. You know, if you're going to sell your business in 5 years, there's things that you wouldn't do if there's a 10-year payoff on them, as opposed to, well, I'm going to sell it in 5 years. Why would I want to do something that's going to take 10 years to realize?
Right.
Better off just to make the company look prettier, do some things with the cash flow, make sure you've got, you know, long-term contracts in place for vendors and suppliers and things of that nature, but really honing in on what are the key deliverables that you do, but also a systematized practice.
You bet.
Business or whatever it is, the more systems you have in place that that business can run without you being there, the easier it is to sell that business to somebody else.
Well, you're absolutely right. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that, that we try to emphasize when we do work with from a coaching perspective is helping business owners become strategic business owners where they can actually step out of the business and the business continue to function and make money whether they're in the middle of it or not. I can't tell you how many people I talk to on a daily basis who have their business built around themselves. And if they were to step out of the business would basically cease to exist or cease to function. And it's fascinating because when you ask them the question, what's your exit strategy, most of them haven't thought that far. All they're worried about is, gosh, how do I get things open and take care of customers today? You mean I need to be doing some long-term planning?
And, absolutely.
And it's a challenge for them. It's a huge challenge. So as you've gone about, what about things in terms of, you know, organizations today, one of the big challenges is attracting and retaining top-tier talent. And what are some things that small business owners can do from a financial perspective? Could be maybe some type of pension or profit-sharing programs or investment programs like a 401k. What are some things that small business owners can do to help in that arena?
Well, from a setting up retirement plans for themselves, there's never been a time where there's more options available for a small business owner to take advantage of that because the common trap I hear lots of small business owners say is, well, you know, I don't want to put $20,000 away in a retirement plan that go in the stock market and the market go down when I can put, you know, I can hire another salesperson or I can do this or I can do that and derive some income out of it. But it's the same thing I tell somebody that works at a Fortune 500 company and they've got all their money in the company stock and their job is there. And it's like, look, something could happen to that company, and not only you lose your job, but all your money's tied up in the company stock and everything else. As a business owner, you've got to diversify outside of your business so the event something does happen to your business, your core business, you're not sunk. And plus, when you go to sell your business, you can be much more – take much better terms from somebody else or give somebody else much better terms if you say, okay, you know, not all your money's tied up. I've got to get 100% cash on my sales price day one. Somebody's going to do that, but they'll pay you a lot less than if you allow them to pay it out over time.
Sure.
And say, okay, you know what, I've got $500,000 or $1 million or $2 million that I've accumulated over 30 or 40 years in my retirement plan. I don't have to have everything out of my business.
Right.
I can allow and take much better terms from that. So it starts just like when you started your business, you didn't get to where you are today overnight. Your retirement accounts and everything else are not going to get large overnight as well, but just regularly systematic putting dollars aside.
You bet. Well, Mark, that's all great, great advice and great input. If you had one thing that you wanted to leave with our audience today of things that they needed to think about going forward in this year, 2008, what would you tell them?
One thing going forward for 2008, I would say make sure you have a great team around you. You're only as good as the team that you have, and that team can be a shameless plug, your financial advisor, your banker, your business coach, your CPA. Make sure that you're spending the time on your business to take a look at it to make sure that you're not missing something, because it only takes one thing to go wrong for us to be sitting on the side of the road. It's just like you get in the car to go to grandma's house for Easter. You got four tires. You want to make sure all those tires are aired up and they're in great shape, because if one of those tires blows out, guess what? You're on the side of the road changing a flat tire, And it's the same thing in your business. If you don't take care of your core competencies, from taking care of your people from a human resource standpoint, to your finances, to your plan, you know, it only takes one of those things to go wrong or bad for you to be on the side of the road having to spend 6 months or a year dealing with something you didn't want to have to deal with.
Right, right. That's so true. You know, having that team of people who can kind of see through the smoke to what the real issues are is so helpful.
Yeah.
And, well, I couldn't agree with that more, Mark. Well, Mark, we've run out of time today, and, boy, just some great insight and some great advice for people out there. If people wanted to get in touch with you, what's your website address?
Website address is Eagle, like the bird, Wealth, WEALTH.net.
EagleWealth.net.
That's correct.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Mark, for being with us today. And on behalf of all of our listeners, thank you for the great insight. And look forward to seeing you down the road, my friend.
Thank you very much, Mike.
I hope everybody derives some benefit from our conversation today. So thanks again, Mark.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this ends our program for today. Thanks again to Mark Johnson with Eagle Wealth Management for his insights into some of the things that we need to think about as small business owners in regards to our financial picture. Boy, one of the biggest issues that we hear from small business owners is struggling from a capital standpoint. And staying on top of your finances, is if you don't do that well, let me highly encourage you to get help either from a CPA or a financial planner like Mark, somebody who can help you wade through all of your options, because as Mark said, there are so many options out there on what you can do with your money, how do you invest it. You want to make sure you get the biggest return on your investment as possible. So don't be afraid to elicit help from people like Mark or your local CPA who can help kind of guide you through some of those financial waters. So that's it for our program today. Again, thanks for listening. This is Mike Nyro with Making Your Business Work Better, and I hope everything goes well this next week, and we'll talk to you again. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Making Business Work Better. To find out more about Mike Myro or to subscribe to this podcast, visit us at smallbizamerica.com.
Small Biz America.